नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रसारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। Thank you all very much for joining today's session. We have been discussing from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And last week we completed the 6th chapter, which is Killing of Putana. So I will do a quick recap of what we saw towards the end. So Putana has already been killed. And she has been burnt also. By Nanda Maharaj and the other Gopas who are returning back from Mathura. And because Krishna sucked her breast, she was immediately freed from all sins. And when her body was actually burnt, the smoke smelled like aguru. It smelled like aguru. Even though cruel Putana offered her breast to kill Krishna, she attained the greatest attainment. What then to speak of those who have natural devotion and affection for Krishna? So there are so many, things that Shukadev Goswami is indicating here. That he says that gradation of attitudes. If a person is offering service to, if a person who is offering service to Krishna with an attempt to kill Krishna, if that person is attaining the goal of life, then how much more will a person who offers with a neutral attitude, what will he get? Definitely he will get more than that. And what if one offers with faith, even more than that? And how much he will attain if he is attaining with pure bhakti, you know, and prema, much more than that, right? And then he says, if a person worships an avatar of the Lord, then he will attain the supreme destination. Then how much more will a person attain who worships Krishna, who is the source of all avatars? This is the second. And the third is, Putana offered her poisoned breast and she attained the highest perfection. And how much more will a person attain if he offers a non-poisoned object? That's all. And what if one offers one's dear object to Krishna? He will get even more. What if he offers a dearer object? Even more. The dearest object? Oh, much the highest destination he will attain. And also, Putana was just a demoniac Rakshasi. If she could attain the highest destination, then what would a faithful human being attain? Even more. And if that faithful human being happens to be a devotee, how much more he will attain? And if he becomes a pure devotee, he will get the highest reward. So all these things, and what then to speak of the elderly gopis who had extreme affection for the Lord? And what about the, and then finally, then what about Mother Yashoda? So paying respects to Mother Yashoda from a distance, I have placed her in the highest position because this is the first episode is an episode which inspires Vatsalya because, you know, Krishna still is in his Balyavastha. You know, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj have the center stage here because his Balya Leela is going on in Bhauma Vrindavan. So he says, that is, therefore I will write no more because her love for Krishna is beyond words. I cannot describe about her love. It is beyond my words. Like that. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, who is worshipped even by great devotees, when being embraced by Putana and sucked, he embraced Putana and sucked her breast. And even though she was a witch, she attained a position like a nurse in Aishwarya Goloka. What then to speak of the cows who willingly and happily gave milk to Krishna? So we were discussing the other day in detail. So it is Bhakta Hridistabhyam. Krishna's feet are situated only in the hearts of the devotees. But Putana was neither a devotee nor a non-devotee. She was an enemy of Krishna. So, but Putana did not worship Krishna's feet. Rather, she did the opposite. At the time of death, she tried to dislodge Krishna's feet from her chest. And not only that, but unable to dislodge it, she started beating that feet. What to speak of worshipping it? With all her strength. So Krishna stepped on Putana forcefully with his feet. He did not just touch her. He forcefully stepped on her with his feet. So where did Putana go at the time of death? This is the biggest discussion. It is mentioned she went to Vaikuntha. So Vaikuntha, it is mentioned that this refers to which Vaikuntha planet did he attain? So he says that she attained, this verse explains that Putana attained the same planet as Mother Yashoda, Janani Gatim, like that. So it is mentioned that therefore Putana attained Aishwarya Goloka, but her position was predominated by happiness and reverence. Her position was predominated by happiness and reverence. She did not attain the place predominated by service in prema. This is one point. Second is, one cannot say that she attained even the status of a mother. Because the 10.6.36 says that that place is reserved only for anuragis, who have pure loving attachment for Krishna. So, and verse 38 says that the cows and the motherly gopis who fed milk to Krishna, they attained a higher position than Putana. So therefore, how could Putana, whose enmity was equal to Kamsa's enmity, how could she, and she just imitated the dress and the emotion of a gopi, how could she attain the same status as Yashoda? Then this would become absolute lack of discrimination from Krishna. You can literally criticize Krishna for lack of discrimination. Therefore, Uddhava says in Bhagavatam, Lebe Gatim Dhatri Uchitam. Not Matru Uchitam or Janani Uchitam. So it is Dhatri Uchitam means Putana attained a status like a nurse. That's all. Thus, in the present verse, some interpret the word Janani to be Dhatri. Okay. But even then, he says, one should not say Putana was a direct nurse of Krishna. Rather, she attained a form like a nurse in a Goloka which is filled with Sukha and Aishwarya. That's all. She just got a form. She did not get to nurse Krishna. She just got the form of a Krishna. This is more of, you know, like Paundrak Vasudev, who got a 400 form in Vaikuntha, but he was experiencing only the bliss of Brahman there. So Putana, first thing, so did so what Putana achieved, she did not get a form in the actual Gokula, this, which is predominated by sweetness. She got a position in Aishwarya Goloka, which is predominated with Sukha and Aishwarya. In that also, she did not get the position equal to Mother Yashoda. She did not even get the position of a nurse. She just got the form of a nurse. She never got to personally nurse Krishna. She just roamed around in the form of a nurse. That's all. But in all likelihood, just like the other demons who are killed by Krishna, even though sometimes they get, you know, Sarupya Abhas or Salokya Abhas, what they experiences only the bliss of Brahman. That's all. So, like that. The cows and the gopis who willingly gave Krishna their milk certainly attained a higher position. They never experienced samsara again. Okay. So, by saying that the elderly gopis attained more than Putana in going to Vaikuntha, there is a contradiction to the statement that enmity and affection lead to the same goal. That statement taken literally would lead to criticism of the Lord for lack of discrimination. How can the Lord lack discrimination? So definitely then, if it is true that the elderly gopis attained more than Putana, who herself attained Vaikuntha, then what did they attain? What did they attain? That should be explained here. With this in mind, the present verse is spoken. Even though Krishna is the bestower of all sorts of goals such as liberation, he drank Putana's breast milk with extremely rare awareness. So Lord Brahma says in the Bhagavatam, fortunate are the cows and gopis whose sweet breast milk Krishna drank in great bliss. With this rare awareness, Krishna thinks, whatever they want, I will give. And as well, whatever I want, they are willing to give. So I will give them whatever they want. So since whatever is desired is easily attained, Krishna certainly will give to the cows and the gopis a suitable reward. So Krishna said, whatever they want, I will give. So which means Krishna is willing to give whatever they want, so which means it is available. Higher than Vaikuntha or higher than even Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna actually will grant them Bhauma Vrindavan. He will grant them Bhauma Vrindavan, which is the most attractive of all. Even though Krishna appeared from Devaki's womb, he did not drink her milk. But he regularly drank the milk of the gopis. Thus, by mentioning Krishna as Devaki Putra in this verse, it is implied that the gopis were more attractive to him even than Devaki. Like that. And then it is mentioned that they escaped the samsara. And Srila Vishnu Jagdakur comments here, oh, one should not think that Krishna liberated the gopis from samsara, because where is the question of bondage from them? The word liberation makes sense only to a bound person. Only to a bound person. Like for example, if someone is not a smoker, if someone does not smoke, and you go and ask him, oh, have you stopped smoking? Tell me yes or no. Now if he says yes, it means he was actually smoking. If he says no, it means he is still smoking. Actually, the question is an invalid question for him because he has never been smoking. So, have the gopis been liberated yet? The question is, wait, this is not a relevant question. Liberation is only for people who are bound or who were bound. Where is the question of the gopis being bound? They were never bound. So where is the question of liberation for them? But here, Shukadeva Goswami does say that they were freed from samsara. But here, Srila Vishnu Chakrakur clarifies, oh, they had no material bondage. Where is the question of liberation from material bondage? There is no bondage for those engaged in the Lord's service. The samsara ensnares those attached to house, husband and sons. Krishna drank milk from the gopis' breasts and played in their houses. Krishna's father was their husband and Krishna was their son. This attachment did not breed samsara. That is the intent of verse 40. So, even though the verse seemingly indicates that the gopis got liberated, what it means is that the attachment, tavad ragadayastena stavat kara graham graham, tavan mohongri nigado, yavat krishna natejana, as Brahmaji says in the 10th canto. All this bondage and being bound to the material world due to family attachments, it happens only for those who are not attached to Krishna and whose family members are not devotees. But that house which belongs to Krishna and where the family members are servants of Krishna, being attached to them and being attached to that house does not breed samsara. So, therefore, that's what for them samsara did not occur, which means there is no question of samsara for such people who are so attached to Krishna. That is the question of samsara. Samsara is born out of ignorance. A jnani's knowledge of Brahman puts an end to samsara. However, better than that is the Shanta Bhakta's realization of Bhagavan as Brahman. Better yet is the Dasya Bhakta who realizes Lord Krishna as his master. By that, the Lord becomes controlled. Superior to that is the Sakya Bhakta who treats the Lord like a friend. And higher than that is the Vatsalya Bhakta who realizes the Lord as a son. Here, there is a gradation of release from samsara according to the degree of surrender of the Lord to the devotee. Degree of surrender of the Lord to the devotee, not devotee to the Lord. The Lord is surrendered to various degrees to the devotee in Vrindavan. Outside Vrindavan, the devotee is surrendered to the Lord. In Vrindavan, the Lord is surrendered to the devotee. Various degrees like that. Anyways, so upon smelling the fragrant smoke, the Vrajavasis were astonished. They were wondering, was it coming from the Bhuloka, was it coming from the Swargaloka, passing via Bhuloka to the Patala Lokas? Or is it coming from the Sutala Loka of Bali Maharaj, passing via Bhuloka and going towards Swarga? What is this? So they came to that place wondering what it could be. When Nanda Maharaj and other Gopas returned and heard about the story of Putana, they were astonished and they offered blessings to Krishna. They were wondering, wow, this Vasudeva must be a great sage. How did he know all these things like that? They were wondering. Nanda Maharaj then picked up Krishna as if he had returned back from death. And he started smelling his head. And he enjoyed great bliss in seeing Krishna happy. One who hears this narration with faith will attain attachment to Govinda. That is the Phalashruti of this Putana episode. And this is where we ended our discussion last week. Now, today we are going to start discussing the killing of Shakatasur and Antranavarta. But before we start that, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add, you can please go ahead. I think there was some comment. Let me check. Yeah, Kalanidhi Prabhu says, looks like the tap of Ananda is precisely controlled by Krishna and he decides who gets how much. Yes. You know, it is, yeah, it is perfectly controlled by Krishna. And he decides who gets how much, you know. There is a huge, tap that is available for the Vrajavasis, and a small, tiny tap available to these demons. Generally, water comes out of it. Sometimes Krishna chooses to send some ghee and some, you know, some ecstatic stuff from it. But whatever he sends, the, you know, sometimes Krishna's extraordinary kripa comes through, you know, by sending ghee through that tap. But still, the demons will get a few drops of that ghee, because of which they can go to Brahmajyoti and experience the bliss of Brahman. But the Vrajavasis get a whole deluge. They get inundated in that ghee, or, you know, sort of, what do you call that, honey, whatever you wish to call, wherever your imagination takes you. Like that. Okay, anything else before we move forward? Yes, Jai Gaurang Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam. Pooja, I want to check, like you mentioned that Putana attained the Golok, Aishwarya Goloka with Brahman happiness. So just want to check, like, is there any difference, like demons attaining the directly Brahman and attain then attaining the Brahman happiness in Golok Vrindavan?
Same thing. There is not Same. Much difference. That is what is mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhaktirasam Sindhu.
Okay. And how does this demons who are attaining the Goloka fit into the realm of Goloka, where everyone is a pure devotee? Like,
they don't get to Gokula. They go to this Aishwarya Goloka, which is almost like a Vaikuntha, where mixed devotees also are there. You know, not everyone is a pure devotee in Vaikuntha. But here they are not even mixed devotees, they are actually Gunibhuta Bhaktas, where bhakti is secondary only. So there must be a system, Krishna devised system, where they can also seamlessly fit in without getting disturbed by the extraordinary devotion of the other residents. What exactly is the system? We do not know. I do not know, at least. Somehow, Krishna has made a system where they also can sort of fit in that place. Krishna has created a system like that.
Okay. So, those devotees who are mixed devotion, they attain Aishwarya Goloka?
They can. They can attain Aishwarya Goloka. But not the Goloka where Madhurya is predominant, Gokula. They cannot attain that abode.
And like Aishwarya Goloka is considered to be higher than Dwarka or Mathura, or like...
Yeah. Because Radha and Krishna are worshipped there in a mood of wedded love. You know, like a king and queen. So, still it is considered to be higher than Dwarka.
Okay, bro. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Anything else before we move forward? Yes, Arpita Mati. You muted yourself again.
Hare Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Prabhuji, these nurses, what would they be doing? Like, what services would they be rendering?
nurses like Putana, they only.
Not like Putana, like general, I'm asking. General, who will be like nurses of Krishna?
They'll be assisting Mother Yashoda in her service.
Assisting Mother Yashoda in cooking? No, not cooking, because gopis cook for Krishna. What services? So it means when Krishna is in Kishor Avastha, he's not a small child. Like in Bhauma Vrindavan, he plays his childhood pastime. But in Golok Vrindavan, he is in Kishor Avastha. So like, what is the role of nurses in Golok Vrindavan there? Because in Bhauma Vrindavan, I understand. Because there Krishna is like a very small child. But
In Golok Vrindavan, you know, that's what we were discussing in our Brihad Bhagavatamrita sessions. In Goloka Vrindavan, even though Krishna is always in his Kishor Avastha, the friends always see him in his Pauganda Avastha and they behave with him just like that. And those in Vatsalya Bhav, they always see him in Balya Avastha only. So they can't see the intensity of their Vatsalya of Mother Yashoda does not allow Krishna, allow her to see Krishna in his Kishor Avastha. So,
yes, sir. So, Prabhuji, this is in Golok Vrindavan, means this is in Golokana where Madhurya is predominated, but in Aishwarya Golok, where Aishwarya is so much, there also Vatsalya Rasa will have such intensity.
There is not much description about Aishwarya Golok as far as I have read till now. I do not exactly know how exactly it is there.
So, Prabhuji, this...
You have muted yourself again, Madhu.
She got Aishwarya Golok because Srila Vishwan Thakur is saying that that Golok is filled with Sukh Aishwarya.
Can you repeat? Because your voice got, it was not audible in between. Can you repeat the question?
Prabhuji, I'm saying that in this commentary of Srila Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur, it is said that she attained the same planet as Mother Yashoda. And then it is also said that she attained this Vagolok filled with Sukh Aishwarya. Is that the reason that we are coming to the conclusion that she attained Aishwarya Golok and not the... So in Aishwarya Golok, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, everyone is present along with Radha Krishna.
Their expansion.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Right. Okay. Anything else before we move forward? Okay, so let's go back to Vrindavan then. Okay, Radha Pramod Prabhu wants us to wait. Yes, Prabhu.
Bro, this Garga Samhita, I was thinking that even though it is not written by a person in Vrindavan and he may not have that Raganga, but if whatever he is speaking, that should be truth only, na?
Correct. Yes, yes.
What but that means?
Also, truth, the event may be true, the emotion may not be true. Like, for example, if he says that, looking at this, the gopis experience this particular emotion. Okay, that's what if Gargacharya is commenting. Now the question is whether Gargacharya is capable of understanding that emotion. So it is dependent on that. So because what is Vrindavan without the emotions? And what can a person who cannot understand and appreciate those emotions, I'm taking an extreme stance. It's not that he cannot understand at all or appreciate at all, but still not like the way the Vrajavasis see it and appreciate it. So therefore, the insights that he may give, maybe like yesterday also we were discussing, right? In one of the Puranas, it is mentioned that Rohini Balramji would not go to Aghasur, and Rohini also would not come to know about Aghasur Vadh, because you know, some Puranas say that Rohini is the expansion of Kadru, and therefore she might feel bad that her descendants in the form of snakes are being killed. Now this may be true according to some Puranas, you know, which, but this kind of you know, this insight is not given by our acharyas, because you know, this is like adding sand to the sweet rice. It spoils the taste, because that is not where our acharyas, you know, try to focus on.
But because it is the but it is true, right? Because it is true, then how like
true that, from nay, now I will bring it down even little bit more to kind of, so true or not true depends on the qualification of the hearer. So let me try to give an example to this, right? So some instructions, you know, are some descriptions of the Pandavas' life in Mahabharata. It is given. Is it true or not true?
Yeah, it is true.
Yeah, but it is true for whom?
Yeah, if somebody is having karma adhikar for them, who are dharmic people, for them, it is
true. Yeah, correct. So similarly, whatever Garga Samhita is a bhakti grantha only. We are not bringing it down to the position of a karma grantha or a jnana grantha. The only thing is, does it nourish the mood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give? Probably not. So
no, I am agreeing with that. I am agreeing with that. What my point is, like, see, there are some details. Now this is a detail, like Rohini's expansion is Kadru. So now how does
that literature says Rohini is Kadru's expansion.
Of course, in Bhagavata also says like the demigods expansions are the Vrajavasis.
Correct. So that so therefore such details have to be processed through our acharyas. So if our Gaudiya acharyas have not, they don't give that processed material, then we will, it's, there is always a chance of misunderstanding it. And interestingly, our Gaudiya acharyas have not commented on Garga Samhita at all. Neither they have commented nor they have quoted. Even though they quote from Harivamsa Puran very regularly and the, you know, the other literatures, but somehow you know, from Garga Samhita they don't seem to quote. So even though, see, even details, whether it would be details also are relevant details which may nourish our mood, or they may not be relevant details which may nourish our mood. So so therefore we are not just interested in Vrajalila. We are interested in Vrajalila as perceived and appreciated by Vrajavasis. That is what exactly is Bhagavatam and its commentaries as presented by our acharyas. It is not just a narration of Vrajalila, but it is a narration of Vrajalila as perceived and appreciated by Vrajavasis. So that is what we are aspiring after. So and based on that, the details may also vary, because based on the perceiver, certain things. So ultimately, the pastime also is multifaceted, and different facets are, like, for example, Mother Yashoda gave birth to Krishna also is not revealed to any other Sampradaya Acharyas except for the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. Now, that is also a detail, that whether Yashoda gave birth to one child or two children, it is a detail. But that detail is revealed only to some people and hidden from some other people. So that facet of reality is not revealed to all Sampradayas. And similarly, some details which may not necessarily nourish our particular mood. Now, if I hear that, you know, Rohini did not go because her expansion was Kadru, and she might feel bad. Now, I mean, how is that detail nourishing my appreciation of Rohini as a Vrajavasi? Because Vrajavasis have no other attachment other than attachment to Krishna, right? So, where you should not bring some things, you need not bring. I mean, our acharyas will not bring. Not that the other acharyas are making a mistake in bringing it, but for them, that protection of that that mood of Vraja, that appreciation of the readers towards the Vrajavasis is not such a critical thing, because their aspiration is a different mood. But our acharyas are very careful, you know. So that mood, if you say, you know, the whole of Vraja is wailing and crying for Krishna's safety, and if Mother Rohini comes there, instead of caring for Krishna's safety, she will start worrying about Kaliya's safety, you know, that sounds very awkward, you know. And therefore not that detail is not wrong. I am not telling that it is wrong, but certainly that detail does not fit into the mood of the narration that is going on here, and the kind of appreciation that our acharyas are trying to bring in towards the Vrajavasis, including Mother Rohini, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So there is something, in the chat box. When we read this Puranas, even though it makes a lot of sense logically, still it creates doubts when we read our Acharya scriptures. How to go about it? Don't read the other Puranas. That's what I would say. Because ultimately what we can understand without the illumination of our Acharyas. So, you know, there will be a lot of difference between the way in which the other Puranas. Okay, rather than telling, don't read those other Puranas, I would rather say, read those literatures which have been illuminated by our Acharyas. So if there are some literatures which are not illuminated by our Acharyas, then they probably have not done it, not because they don't have time, because they had lot of time. And for them, you know, time expands as much as they want. They have written unlimited number of literatures. But if they have not taken time to illuminate on particular literatures, not that the literature is not important, but it is probably not important for the prayojan that we are trying to attain. So if your prayojan is clear, there is unlimited ample literatures which our acharyas have written and commented upon. Whatever is needed is all there. So why should one be eager to read other literatures? You know, ideally, we are not reading other literatures because, you know, just for, like, we read comics and other novels, right? We wish to read them for our own nourishment. And whatever books are needed for nourishing our heart and faith, you know, that has already been commented by our acharyas. So we can read those literatures which have first, you know, whatever books our acharyas have written and commented upon, we can read them first. And after that, if we have time, we can read subsequent Puranas. Like that. Anything else? Okay. Okay. So let's go back to Vrindavan, you know, just like, you know, let's see if there is anyone else who wishes that we get delayed in our going back to Vrindavan. Probably not. I think everyone is eager to go back to Vrindavan. Okay, let's go to Vrindavan and see what's happening in Vrindavan right now. Seventh chapter we are starting. So now, before we go to Vrindavan, the camera shifts to the bank of Ganga, where Shukadev Goswami is having this conversation with Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj has some doubts. Shri Raja Uvacha, Yena Yena Vatarena Bhagavan Haririshwarah Karoti Karna Ramyani Vanogyani Chana Prabho Yachrinvato Paiti Aratir Vitishna Satvam Cha Shudyat Yachirena Pumsah Bhaktir Harau Tat Purushe Cha Sakyam Tadeva Haram Vadamanya Sechet. Beautiful verses. So he says, O Prabhu, my dear Lord Shukadev Goswami, Yena Yena Avatarena Bhagavan Harir Ishwaraha Karoti. All the various activities exhibited by the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Karna Ramyani Manogyani, are certainly pleasing to the ear and to the mind. Yet Shrinvato, just by hearing these activities, Pumsaha Aratihi Achirena Apaiti, the dirty things in one's mind immediately vanish. And Prabhupada gives a very purported explanation here. Generally, we are reluctant to hear about the activities of the Lord, but Krishna's childhood activities are so attractive that they are automatically pleasing to the mind and ear. Thus, one's attachment for hearing about material things, which is the root cause of material existence, vanishes. Satvam cha shudyati aratihi. Okay, anyways. And one gradually develops devotional service to the Supreme Lord, that is attachment to Him. Bhaktir harau. Tat purushecha sakyam. And friendship with devotees who give as the contribution of Krishna consciousness. Vadamanya sechet. If you think fit, kindly speak about those activities of the Lord. So, Parikshit Maharaj is expressing his appreciation for the subject matter, which has already been shared, and is expressing his eagerness for that which he wishes that Shukadev Goswami continue to share. So, Yena Yena Avatarena Bhagavan Haridishwaraha Karoti Karana Ramyani Manogyani Chana Prabho. Please narrate to us, you know, whatever Yena Yena Avatarena, whatever avatar the Supreme Lord performs activities are Karna Ramyani and Manogyani. Yet Shrinvato, on hearing which Apaiti Aratir Vitrishna, one gives up material attachment and all the impurities in the heart gets destroyed. Satvam cha shudyati, the heart becomes purified. Achirena, very quickly. Bhaktir harau, and one develops great love for the Supreme Lord. Tat purushe cha sakyam, one develops friendship with other similar like-minded devotees. Tadeva haram vadamanya sechet. If you think it is appropriate, please continue narrating these pastimes. So, Shri Vishnachakra Dakur writes, the seventh chapter shows the Aishwarya, power and majesty aspect of Krishna's childhood pastimes. Krishna broke the cart after taking his bath and going to sleep. He killed Trinavarta and showed the whole universe to Mother Yashoda. By sucking Putana's breast, Krishna showed the power of his lips. In the pastime of demolishing the cart, Krishna showed the power of his feet. And by killing Trinavarta, Krishna showed the power of his hands. He showed his unlimited powers by revealing the universe twice in this and the next chapter to his mother. You know, by showing the whole universe within his mouth. My mind is attracted to the pastimes of Krishna's other avataras, Manogyani. But I am especially greedy to hear about Krishna's childhood pastimes. Yes. All the above pastimes of the other avatars which you had narrated was wonderful. but I am especially attached to the childhood pastimes of Krishna. So please narrate them. So, with this intent, Parikshit speaks this verse. Hearing the pastimes of the different avatars of the Lord fills me with bliss. But if you agree, then please speak about those pastimes which will destroy one's apathy and lack of taste for hearing them. One's, you know, lack of taste for hearing. Vitrishna. Krishna means thirst. Vitrishna means lack of thirst, lack of taste for hearing them. Hearing Krishna's transcendental pastimes creates a hankering to hear more, and it purifies the mind of filthy desires. Hearing Krishna's transcendental pastimes creates a hankering to hear more. Yet shrinvato apaiti aratihi vitrishna. Apaiti means hearing these pastimes destroys arati, means lack of attachment. Vitrishna means lack of thirst. To hear this. Any other pastimes you may hear without much taste. But when you hear Krishna's childhood pastimes, yat shrinvato apaiti aratihi vitrishna sattvam cha shudyati, and the heart becomes purified achirena pumsa, very quickly. Bhaktir harau, one develops prema towards the Supreme Lord. Tat puruṣe cha sakyam, one develops friendship towards the other devotees who are like-minded. Like that. So, at first, rock candy tastes bitter to a man suffering from jaundice, but eventually one regains the power to taste its sweetness. Syat Krishna nama charitadi sitapya vidya pittopatapta rasanasyana rochikanu. Kintu adarad anudinam kalusaiva jushta swadvi kramad bhavati tattata moolahantri. Right. So similarly, a conditioned soul has no attraction to hearing Harikatha, but continual hearing will quickly produce attachment, asakti, rati, bhava, and finally prema. You see here, you know, some devotees say, Prabhu, I can't attend your other sessions, you know, it is like little too dry. But still, the attendance, even though generally for our afternoon sessions, if you remember, very few devotees used to attend. Evening sessions, many devotees. Okay. Because afternoon sessions used to be hardcore philosophy. But now, with 10th canto, the attendance is quite good. You know, even the later part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita also with Krishna's pastimes going on. You know, yakshrinvato apaiti aratir vitrishna. You know, that lack of taste goes away, you know, because Krishna's pastimes are so attractive. So, there is so much. To the extent that people say that, you know, some devotees say, oh, we don't like Saturday and Sunday. You know, we wish that it continues, you know. So which means this indicates actually progress. There is arati, pitrishna apaiti is happening. Destruction of lack of taste for hearing and destruction of, and all the anartha nivritti is happening. So, then he says that in the beginning, one will develop friendship with Krishna's devotees, and at the stage of prema, one will feel love for all living beings. Hearing anything about Bhagavan Shri Krishna gradually rids one of indifference to hearing about the Lord and helps one attain prema. But hearing the pastimes of Krishna's childhood quickly brings about Krishna prema. Achirena pumsam. Bhaktir harau tat puruṣe cha sakyam tadeva haram sattvam cha shudyati achirena pumsah. So one quickly attains prema. Okay. So let's summarize this. I have great attraction to all the avatarakata, but I have special attraction to Krishna's childhood pastime, hearing which, okay, there is apaiti, aratihi, and vitrishna, and then sattvam cha shudyati. Sattvam means heart, shudyati means purified. And all of this happening achiren, very fast. Okay. And for this development of prema. And friendship with devotees. Therefore, please, please narrate. Yadi vada manyase chet. If you consider it is appropriate, can you please continue narrating these pastimes of Krishna, like that it says. Atanyan api Krishnasya toka charitam adbutam. Manusham lokam asadhya tajjatim anurundatah. Ata anyadapi krishnasya toka charitam adbutam. Please describe other anyadapi. Ata. Thereafter ata. Anyadapi. Other wonderful. Krishnasya adbutam toka charitam. The other wonderful pastimes of Krishna, the Supreme Personality. Manusham lokam asadhya, who appeared on this planet earth in a human form, tad jatim anurundatah, performing wonderful activities like killing putana, like a human being, tad jatim, just like a human person would perform pastimes. He says, please describe other wonderful pastimes of Krishna, who appeared like a human and performed human-like pastimes. In his enthusiasm, Parikshit repeats his request to clarify his intention. Being requested by mankind, the Lord appeared on earth rather than being requested by demigods and appearing on Swarga. In this way, Sri Krishna especially blessed the humans on earth. Okay. So, in this way, Parikshit Maharaj has now requested Shukadeva Goswami to speak more. If he felt it is appropriate, please, can you please speak more about the pastimes of Krishna? Any quick discussion points before we move on to Shakatasur's killing? Sri Vidya Mandesh.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, how do we understand this mood of Parikshit Maharaj to hear more Krishna Katha with the common man or even with devotees who are not much interested in knowing about the philosophy, about the nine cantos where speaks about Krishna's greatness, rather than hearing directly about the Krishna's sweetness? So how do we, because we also without understanding the other parts of Bhagavatam, we also become more interested in hearing about these pastimes, especially the Madhurya pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So how do we understand in which mood we are in, which level we are in?
Well, actually Prabhupada has always insisted that don't directly jump to the 10th canto. One should hear gradually. you know, from first canto, second canto, third canto, fourth canto. Because Bhagavatam is written in such a way that, you know, the earlier cantos actually create the right kind of appetite and the ability to digest properly the 10th canto past tense which are discussed in the 10th canto. Krishna's past tense discussed in the 10th canto. So, every single verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to awaken attraction for Krishna in a very scientific, proper way. So, therefore, one should not try to jump and one should not try to trivialize the other cantos. Actually, one should properly with respect. If not, then the acharyas would have not commented on the other cantos. Actually, the acharyas have commented on all the cantos, including the 10th canto. Of course, in the 10th canto, their commentaries have been much more extensive and elaborate and relishable. But nevertheless, they have bothered to extensively comment on the earlier cantos also, which means it is very important. So we should not, yes, of course, we do understand that the 10th canto pastimes are the sweetest and very relishable, but it should be relished in the proper mood of appreciation of Krishna's supremacy also. And the earlier cantos help us develop that appreciation. So, therefore, yes, we don't have to stop hearing the 10th canto pastimes as and when, you know, we get to hear them. But at the same time, diligently one should try to understand the subject matters which are presented in the first 9 cantos also and Bhagavad Gita like that. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you very much.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Let us continue then. So, Shukadeva Goswami continues. Shri Shuka Uvacha Kadachi Dautanika Kautuka Plave Janmarksha Yoge Samaveta Yoshitam Vaditra Gita Vijamantra Vachakais Chakarasunor Abhishechanam Sate. Kadachit, once upon a time, Autanika Kautuka Aplave. When Mother Yashoda's baby was slanting his body to attempt to rise and turn around, this attempt was observed by a Vedic ceremony. Autanika, which means Uttana, when Krishna is trying to get up, or when a child is trying to get up. Kadachit, on one particular day, Autanika Kautuka Aplave. Kautuka means, you know, great enjoyment, enthusiasm. In such a ceremony, Prabhupada writes, called Uttana, which is performed when a child is due to leave the house for the first time, the child is properly bathed. Just after Krishna turned 3 months old, Mother Yashoda celebrated this ceremony with other women of the neighborhood. Samaveta Yoshitam. Okay. So Prabhupada's purportic explanation of this. On that day, there was a conjunction of moon with the constellation Rohini. Janma Riksha Yoge. Dvija Mantra Vachakaihi. As the Brahmanas joined by chanting Vedic hymns, Vaditra Gita, professional musicians also took part. Chakara Sunoho Abhishechanam Sate. Chakara performed Sunoho to the sun. Abhishechanam means bathing him. Abhishechanam. Okay. So let's see what we will go to the commentary and then get back to summarizing the verse. Kadachit sometime. Means this incident took place within 3 months of the child's birth. In the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that the breaking of the cart occurred when Krishna was 3 months old. Traimasikasya cha pada shakato apavrittaha. The second canto says, when he was 3 months old, he destroyed the shakata. The village ladies swelled with joy when baby Krishna first rolled over. Uttanika. Uttana. So that is why it is mentioned here. Uttanika kautuka plave. So they were immersed in the joy of observing Krishna turnover. And he was about 3 months old. When the moon entered Krishna's birth star Rohini, Janma Riksha, what is it? Janma Riksha Yoge. When the moon entered Krishna's birth star Rohini, Yashoda and her circle of gopi friends celebrated the event by bathing the child to the accompaniment of music, singing, and chanting by the Brahmanas. Right? Chakara Sunor Abhishechanam Sate Vaditra Gita Dvijamantra Vachakaihi. Like that. One day, the gopis were celebrating Krishna's Uttana ceremony. On the day when Rohini, on the day when there was a conjunction of moon and Rohini. So, like that. So, they started celebrating the Uttana ceremony. Nandasya patni kritama janadikam viprai krita swastyayanam supujitaihi annadya vasas ragabishta dhenubihi sanjata nidraksham ashishayatshanaihi kritama janadikam. After completing the bathing ceremony for the child and other such rituals, Nandasya Patni, the wife of Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, Vipraihi Krita Swastayanam Supujitaihi. She properly received the Brahmanas, worshipped them with proper respect, Annadya, and giving them ample food, grains, and other eatables, Vasaha, clothing, Srag, garlands, Abhishta Denubihi, and desirable cows. And the Brahmanas properly chanted the Vedic hymns to observe the auspicious ceremony. Krita Swastyayanam. Sanjata Nidraksham. And when they finished and Mother Yashoda saw that the child felt sleepy. Sanjata Nidraksham. So when she realized that Krishna was feeling sleepy, Ashishayat Shanaihi, she lay down on the bed with the child until he was peacefully asleep. Ashishayat Shanaihi. For a short while, she laid down with Krishna until he was peacefully asleep. So let's go over the explanation and then we will come back to summarize the verse. After being honored by gifts of rice, cloth, and money, the Brahmanas performed the auspicious birth rites. Vipraihi krita swastayanam subhujitaihi annadya vasasrag abhishta denubihi. Then, okay. So, because Krishna had sleepy eyes, sanjata nidraksham, nidra aksham. So, sleep was visible in his eyes. He was put to rest, ashishayat. For fear that Krishna might wake up, Yashoda held him in her lap without moving. Ashishayat Shanaihi. Then she lay down with her beloved son on a cot under a cart situated in a spacious courtyard. Upon understanding that Krishna was fast asleep, Yashoda got up very slowly and carefully. Shanaihi. Sanjata Nidraksham Ashishayat Shanaihi. Okay. So, after receiving the Brahmanas and worshipping them and giving in charity, Mother Yashoda realized that Krishna was feeling sleepy. So she lay down with him on a cot under a cart. Okay. So Autani Kautsukya Mana Manaswini Samagatan Pujayati Vrajaukasaha Naivashrunodvai Ruditam Sutasyasa Rudan Stanarti Charanam Udakshipat Autanika Utsukya Mana Manaswini Samagatan Pujayati Samagatan Rajaukasaha Pujayati. Uttanika Utsukyamana, being very absorbed in celebrating the Uttana ceremony, Manaswini, the liberal-minded Mother Yashoda, Samagatan Rajaukasaha Pujayati. She was busy worshipping or taking care of the Vrajavasis who had come there. Na eva ashrunod vai ruditam sutasya. Sa na eva ashrunod. She did not hear sutasya ruditam, the crying of her son. Why was he crying? Rudan stanarti. He was desirous of her breast. He was feeling hungry. And in that mood, charanav udakshipat, he started flailing his legs. He started kicking his legs upwards. Okay. So, it is mentioned, the liberal Mother Yashoda, absorbed in celebrating the Uttana ceremony, was busy receiving guests, worshipping them with all respect and offering them clothing, cows, garlands and grains. Thus, she could not hear the child crying for his mother. At that time, the child Krishna, demanding to drink the milk from his mother's breast, angrily threw his legs upward. Mother Yashoda, busy in taking care of guests, did not hear hungry Krishna's cry. She did not hear hungry Krishna's cry. Krishna angrily kicked his legs upwards. Krishna Chakadakur says, because Yashoda was busy exchanging pleasantries and giving ornaments, garlands, chandan, oil and sindoor to the village ladies who had assembled for the festival, she did not hear Krishna crying from hunger upon his waking. In anger, Krishna kicked his leg upward while thinking, since you cannot hear my crying, maybe the sound of the cart breaking will catch your attention. Udakshipat, maybe Uday in Tamil, maybe, yeah, I don't know, quite possible. Udakshipat, Kshipat Kshipat means to flail, you know, to throw around. Udak Kshipat. Yeah. Is that Udai? No, I don't think etymologically it comes from there, even though it sounds similar. There are many other words which have the etymological connection there, but I don't think this one, Udak Kshipat, is not exact. It has, I don't think Uda has something to do with legs. Because it says, Charanav Udak Kshipat. So Charanav is specifically indicated here. So Udak Kshipat, could it mean Uday? May, I don't know, maybe not. I don't think so. Okay. So Krishna wanted to see that, okay, if you are so busy and you can't hear the noise of my crying, maybe I will make a bigger sound which will catch your attention. And he kicked. And I don't think Krishna had long enough legs to reach out to the cart. Actually, this is also inconceivable. Krishna had, so that's why they were wondering, you know, how did the cart break? Krishna had small legs. Certainly, the legs were not long enough to reach out to the cart. But if it was, if the cart was, then how was it possible for Mother Yashoda to go and lie down with Krishna below that? It's impossible. Krishna did not have that long legs to reach out to the cart. But Krishna did it because he is Krishna. Right? He is Krishna. No one watched it. So no one realized how did this exactly happen. But Krishna had kicked it. Further, Shukadeva Goswami continues this narration. He says, Adahashayanasya Shishor Anolpaka Pravala Mridvangri Hatam Yavartata Vidvastanana Rasakupya Bhajanam Vyatyasta Chakraksha Vibhinna Kubaram. Shishoho Anoho Adahashayanasya. Lord Shri Krishna was lying down underneath the handcart in one corner of the courtyard. Alpaka Pravala Mridvangri. Although his little legs were as soft as leaves, when he struck the cart with his legs, Hatam Vyavartata, it turned over violently and collapsed. So his kick, it didn't collapse as it is. It turned over and collapsed, which means it did not collapse on Krishna. Krishna, I mean, of course, even if it would have collapsed on Krishna, nothing would have happened. But he kicked it in such a way that it turned around and collapsed next to Krishna, but not on Krishna. Vyatyasta Chakra Aksha, the wheels separated from the axle. The hubs and spokes fell apart. Vibhinna Kubaram, and the pole of the handcart broke. Nana Rasak Kupya Bhajanam, on the cart there were many little utensils made of various metals. Vidvasta, and all of them scattered hither thither. So, his legs his legs small and soft kicked the cart and it turned over. And the wheels separated from the axle and all the metal vessels fell down. The cart was struck by the soft feet of Krishna as if with very little force. To break the cart, Krishna did not extend his foot high upward like Vamana in breaking the shell of the universe. Nor did Krishna's feet become hard like Narasimha's nails to tear apart the hard body of Hiranyakashipu. So his legs did not extend like Vamana's legs extended when he became Trivikrama. And his soft foot remained soft. Soft feet remained soft. It did not become hard like the nails of Hiranyakashipu. This rare display of power by Krishna, which does not contradict the sweetness of his childhood pastimes, shows the completeness of Sri Krishna in Vrindavan. Okay. So there is no expression of ghastliness here. So therefore, the sweetness of Vrindavan is maintained. So where in these pastimes he kills demons, but he does not show, he still looks sweet and soft. So his feet were soft, his legs did not become long enough to reach. Suddenly Krishna's small feet, zoom, it extends and hits the cart and then again becomes small. No. His feet was just as small as a child's feet, as soft as a child's feet, but still it managed to kick the cart and turn it around. This shows the completeness of Sri Krishna in Vrindavan. The cart turned upside down and the utensils of gold and silver scattered everywhere. The wheels and the axle fell apart and the steering pole broke. The Brahmanda Puran states that because a heavy demon entered the cart, the wheel sank in the earth and the cart's height decreased. Thus, Krishna's short baby legs could touch the cart. So this is, there is a description from Brahmanda Puran, which is quoted by Srila Vishwanatha Saraswati Thakur here. Even though Bhagavatam in itself does not explicitly talk about Shakatasura, a demon here, but the other Puranas do mention. And some additional details are there in Brahmanda Purana. Brahmanda Puran says that because a heavy demon entered the cart, the wheels of the cart sank in the earth. And in this way, the height became lower. Therefore, Krishna's feet could touch the cart and, sort of topple it. That's how, that is the explanation here. So, anyways. So then what happened? Drishtva Yashoda Pramukha Vrajastriya. Just give me 1 second. Drishtva Yashoda Pramukha Vrajastriya Autanike Karmaniya Samagataha Nandadayaschad Buddha Darshanakulaha Katam Swayam Vai Shakatam Viparyagat. Yashoda Pramukha Vrajastriya, the gopis headed by Mother Yashoda, Auttanike Karmani Ya Samagata, who had assembled for the Uttana festival, Nandadayascha, and all the men headed by Nanda Maharaj, Drishtva Adbhuta Darshana Kula, when they saw that wonderful situation, Katam Swayam Vai Shakatam Viparyagat. They were wondering how the hand cart had collapsed by itself. How was it possible for the hand cart to have collapsed by itself? They were wondering. They began to wander here and there trying to find the cause, but they were unable to do so. So, yeah. So he, it says, Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, and the other Vrajavasis saw this wonderful situation and were wondering how the cart collapsed by itself but they could not find the cause. Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur says, Nanda, Yashoda and the other assembled women and guests became dismayed upon seeing that astonishing event. They asked, how could the cart fall apart on its own? You know, because there is no question of even remotely guessing that Krishna would have kicked it, because there is no way Krishna's feet could have reached till there. You know, there is no question of even remotely thinking that Krishna must have kicked it. Okay, there is a question in the chat box. Why did Mother Yashoda, why did she make Krishna to lie under the cart particularly? Actually, the cart was a huge cart. It was a huge cart, big enough to put the cart under that cart. You know, it was huge. It was not a small one. There was sufficient space to put a cart under it and people could lie down under it. There was absolutely no question of any kind of danger there. It's not that, you know, particularly she put that, because when we think of a cart, we think of a small cart, you know, why would someone go and lie down under a cart? But this was a huge cart. This was a huge cart and there was sufficient space under the cart where you could put a cart and Krishna could lie down there. Like that. Okay, anything else before we move forward in this Shakatasur Vada? Yes, Madhavi Gopi Madhavi.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Prabhuji. Prabhuji, can you, because other demons, Putana and even Bakasur and all, we know some history, like, yeah, they were all brothers and sisters, they were sent by Kamsa and things like that. Putana was famous for killing children like that. But Shakatasura, always I wonder that we know from where he came just to kill Krishna and that's it. And he got killed. No detail, nothing is available. So if you can give some
more. I think in Garga Samhita somewhere it is given all these demons, their past history and who they were and how they came in touch with Kamsa and all that. You know, that is described in Garga Samhita. Okay. Yeah. I think about Shakatasura also it is given there.
Okay. Yeah. I'll try to look. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Shri Vidya Mataji.
Hare Krishna. I am not sure if this is a relevant question, but I was just wondering when seeing all these pastimes again, how Mother Yashoda. See, just now the Putana pastime had happened and Krishna's life was in danger. One may question that, you know, Nanda and Yashoda, they had so many people to assist them. So why to leave Krishna there alone? So can we say it's Krishna's own arrangement that he wanted to perform this pastime and that he made them, you know, leave him alone? How do we understand this? Because why I wanted to understand this is in our services also to Krishna also. Sometimes, you know, we keep, repeating certain mistakes again and again, even though we know if something wrong goes, But you know, and we try to rectify it also, but that same mistakes, you know, happens again and again. So is there something like Krishna's plan on this, all this type that, you know, this mother, Rani, has been left alone in spite of, you know, so many people there surrounding?
Well, the people who were there were all Vrajavasis. They were all one family, actually. And honestly, there is absolutely no question of danger of that cart collapsing, you know. You know, it's like, it is like, suddenly, is what is the chance that, you know, the room in which we are sitting, the, you know, the ceiling suddenly collapses and falls on our head, you know. I mean, no one anticipates these things because the chance that such a thing will happen is very remote. I mean, practically impossible. It's, and it's not that the cart was wobbly and any time, you know, it is going to crash or anything like that. Nothing. There was no announcement. There is no reason. Definitely, there was no reason for Nanda and Yashoda to actually feel that, you know, there was a danger of the cart collapsing or anything like that. So, and of course, yes, why did they leave him alone and go? Yes, that may be an arrangement of Krishna's Leela Shakti. But it's not that there was absolutely no mistake here. There was absolutely no mistake here because it was festive time. And everyone had come and the hosts have to definitely take care. And when Krishna is awake, then definitely someone has to be there to engage him. But when Krishna is sleeping, you just need people not to disturb him. That's all. So, apart from that, there is no particular mention by the acharyas as to, you know, was it carelessness on the part of, especially Putana had just come. Yeah, but still there was no reason to exactly anticipate because whoever had come were all, you know, known to Nanda and Yashoda. It was all one family only. So, but still, Nanda and Yashoda were the hosts and they had to do the guest reception like that. So, is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. If I remember correctly, I think later, I don't know if it is Srinavarta, this one, even the gopis, you know, the elderly gopis, would be chastising, you know, Yashoda Maya for leaving or Krishna alone.
Yeah, that chastisement does not necessarily mean Mother Yashoda made a mistake. It's just out of love. Sometimes, you know, when there is strong emotion, when people speak something and criticize, you know, it's not that they are criticizing, they are just expressing their emotion. And here it's the emotion of deep attachment to Krishna. So not that they want to criticize Mother Yashoda or not that they really feel Mother Yashoda was very, inattentive or careless. It is just their love for Krishna. That's all. One should not look too much beyond it and actually try to investigate, was Mother Yashoda actually careless? Why was she careless like that? Unless the acharyas make a comment, oh, this is why, this happened like that. Is that okay?
Yes, Prabhuji, just wanted to understand, even in our services to Krishna also, sometimes, you know, we overlook things, we don't go into details and we keep making, you know, some mistakes again and again. Or at that particular time, we may not be giving our the importance for that service. So how do we, how do we correlate or can we correlate these two things here Mother Yashoda overlooking Krishna and, taking care of him, something else. And we, doing some of this one. I mean, not properly engaged in the service of Krishna, but doing something else when it was required. So, I mean, I'm not sure if it could be...
No, absolutely not. We cannot. Because the Vrajavasis are a whole different brand. You have to really shake them off their attention to Krishna. There is no question of lack of attention to details. Actually, their whole life is revolving around Krishna. There is no question of the Vrajavasis being inattentive to serving Krishna. So we cannot, you know, even though as preachers we may be inspired to draw out some lessons like that from these pastimes, but we should be very careful not to present those pastimes in a way that actually the hearer starts losing respect for the Vrajavasis, because the Vrajavasis are not like ordinary sadhakas. Their life, their whole life is revolving around Krishna, and they cannot be inattentive to details. There is always complete attention to details. So therefore, using these things to draw out lessons for inattentive devotional service practiced by sadhakas can potentially be offensive to the Vrajavasis, unless these kind of explanations are given by the acharyas themselves. Yes, you know, sadhakas have to attentively perform their sadhana, their services. There is no doubt about that. But for that, you don't have to say, look, Mother Yashoda was inattentive to Krishna's service. Now the question is, can such people ever be inattentive to Krishna's service? It is impossible. They are Vrajavasis. Whom are we talking about? We cannot. So unless the acharyas themselves say, oh, this is a lesson that you can draw, that eagerness to draw out lessons for lessons for the sadhakas from the pastimes performed by perfected devotees is like a constant itch that as preachers that we may have. But we should learn to tolerate that itch, because that itch, the more we scratch, the more it will start itching. And then we will keep scratching it more and more. That itch will keep on increasing, and then we will keep on deriving lessons and lessons and lessons, even though those lessons should come from the acharyas, not from us, not from our eagerness to learn lessons. Yes, the lesson that you may present may be appropriate for a sadhaka. A sadhaka has to be very attentive to perform his services, to perform his sadhana, and all that, correct. But is that what the pastime is indicating? That Mother Yashoda was inattentive to Krishna and suddenly Krishna taught her a lesson. So what kind of course, if that's what the acharyas say, then, you know, we accept it. But otherwise, in our eagerness to derive lessons for the sadhakas, we should be careful enough not to show the exalted devotees in poor light. So that we have to be very careful. So therefore, it is always safe to stick to the lessons that the acharyas themselves give. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you,
Hare Krishna. Okay. Tanna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, what discussion is going on about Krishna and Yashoda Mataji? She's not attentive like that. I just got a thought. I don't know I'm right or wrong in what I'm saying. Is that she was in a courtyard serving the people and she wanted the child in front of her, like we or mothers also. When we are in the house and we are doing kitchen work, we try to keep our son, the child, in such a place that we can hear his voice. Sometimes we take him in the kitchen also and we keep a small bed and make him sleep. Well, he was just 3 months old.
Yeah.
So even if there are many people in the house, but sometimes when the child gets up, he wants the mother only. So that is the thing what I thought about Yashoda Mai. She has done it because she thought wherever, if he sleeps inside the room and if there is nobody there, Nobody will hear him. But when he's near the
quite
portal,
possible.
Where she's,
yeah,
where
quite
she's
possible.
Taking care of the guest, so she can hear him and she can see, you know, have an eye on him,
yeah,
where is he and what is he doing like that.
Yeah.
So that was just
makes
a thought
sense
from myself.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Quite possible. Quite possible. Yeah. Because the mother, wherever she is doing her household chores, you know, she wants the child to be around there so that she can keep an eye. So that's why if you see, even though there is bedroom, I'm sure, you know, the cradle, or sometimes in, you know, you have a cloth in which you tie to the ceiling and in which you hang the baby so that it can be rocked. You know, in Tamil, we call it dhuli. You know, that is always in the living room, you know, where the mother is working around so that as soon as the child is crying, she is immediately there to rock that cloth and make him sleep, and then she's around, you know, like that. So whenever he cries, she's immediately there to cater to him. It's quite possible. This could be the reason why, you know, she put him to sleep in the courtyard and not in the bedroom. Yeah, quite, yeah, that makes, definitely it makes sense. Okay, there are some more comments, questions in the chat box. Today also, in the villages, the farmer takes a nap under the bullock cart. Yeah, because it gives shade, you know, and sun does not shine on your face. So it is little cool. Srila Prabhupada always said, since we urban dwellers, we are unaware of the natural settings, and the analogies also are sometimes difficult for us to visualize. So true. It is very correct. Unfortunately, actually, for us. Okay. Okay, there is a request here. Please keep some time for Ekadashi Kirtan or Indira Ekadashi Katha before ending today's session. Yeah, actually there are some forums I can suggest you where they have extra chanting and you know, maybe such kind of katha, you know. You know, Bhakti Sangha, there is conference call where they have extra japa on Ekadashi days. We have our regular japa every day morning from, you know, from 5 a.m. to 7:15 a.m. We have our regular morning japa in the same Zoom link. You can join. And the specific Indira Ekadashi Katha, you know, what happened exactly and all that. These katha are mostly little karmakandiya kathas. They are not, even though the personalities involved may be Krishna, Yudhishthir Maharaj, etc. But these kind of kathas are not necessarily nourishing, you know, someone may say that, oh, on this katha, someone did something, 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 they fasted on this Ekadashi and all their sins got destroyed. Of course, we do not actually practice Ekadashi, you know, we do not perform Ekadashi fasting to destroy our sins. Or someone says that Putrada Ekadashi, you fast on this day, you will get a child. We don't do Ekadashi for these kind of purposes. Even though there may be some Puranic stories which may say that, oh, such a person was childless for such a long time, and on Putrada Ekadashi, somehow someone suggested that you fast on this particular day, you will get a child, and they fasted. And guess what? Within a year, she begot a child. Yes, right. We are not denying it, but we don't perform Ekadashi for these kind of purposes. Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani Jatane Palana Kori. So, we perform Ekadashi Vrata because the day is very dear to Krishna, Madhava Titi. So it is very dear to Krishna, therefore we try to. Otherwise, all these different types of Ekadashi Mahatmya Kathas and all, these are actually Karmakandiya. They are not ideally we devotees should not be forwarding these type of Ekadashi Kathas to others and discussing them, because what are we trying to communicate to them? On one hand we say Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavrita, and on the other hand we are telling, oh, do this Ekadashi, you will get this. Shaktila Ekadashi, you follow, you get this benefit. I mean, it is true, but it is not for devotees. Maybe for others who are expecting some material benefit or escape from suffering, for that they may choose to perform Ekadashi for such purposes. But for us, we have only one Ekadashi Katha, that this Ekadashi is very dear to Krishna. So whatever is dear to Krishna, Anukulyasya Sankalpo, so we accept it in that mood. So please Krishna, we perform Ekadashi. That is the only Katha that we have. Tulasi Deki Judaya Pran Madhava Toshani Jani Gaura Priya Shaka Sevane Jeevana Sartakamani. So for us, the only joy is to see something which has a very overt connection with Krishna and feel joyful. Ekadashi is very directly connected to Krishna. We feel joyful. Tulasi Deki Judaya Pran, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whenever I take darshan of Tulsi, my heart becomes soothed. Just taking darshan of Tulsi. Why? Madhava Toshani Jani. Oh, here is a personality who pleases Lord Krishna, who is capable of satisfying Lord Krishna. So that is our purpose. Madhava Toshani Jani. Oh, this is this Tulsi Devi, she pleases Madhava. Gaura Priya Shaka Sevane Jeevana Sartakamani. And that shak sabji, whenever I cook and eat that shak sabji, I remember its connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's all. So that is the mood of devotees, connecting everything to Krishna. But karma is, even though something may have transcendental value, we connect it to ourselves. That is karma. Oh, you don't have putra, you fast on putrada Ekadashi, you will get a child. But Ekadashi is very dear to Krishna. But that is not very attractive to the karmis. The karmi mentality is, what is there in it for me? So for that, for them, these kind of Ekadashi Mahatmya stories are there. But for devotees, it is sufficient for us to know that this is very dear to Krishna. So I will follow. Like that. So that is our Indira Ekadashi Katha for today. Anything else anyone would like to share, ask on this topic? Okay, if there is none, let us continue our discussion.
Uchur avyavasitamatin gopan gopischa balakah rudatanena padena shiptam etanna samshayah.
The assembled cowherd men and ladies began to contemplate. Okay, just give me 1 second. The assembled cowherd men and ladies began to contemplate how this thing had happened. Is it the work of some demon or evil planet? Uchuhu, they spoke, avyavasita mati, means a completely confused mind. Gopan, gopischa balakaha. So, is it the work of some demon or an evil planet? They asked. This is all implied. This is not directly there in the verse. Avyavasita matin balakaha. At that time, the small children present asserted Gopan Gopischa to the assembled Gopas and Gopis that the cart had been kicked apart by baby Krishna. You know, so the, you know, avyavasita mateen balakaha. So the padena kshiptam, as soon as the crying baby had kicked the cart's wheel, the cart had collapsed. Etadna samshayaha. And who told this? The small children. The small children only should see it. Why? So that they are not very trustworthy. They cannot be trusted. They will speak whatever they want. So that the mood is not actually disturbed. So, while they were wondering how it happened, the small children told that crying Krishna kicked it. There is no doubt about it. This is what the children told. There is no doubt about it. Crying Krishna just kicked it and it fell down. So, the children who had witnessed the event described it to the gopis, who could not discern what had happened. The gopis asked, "Is this the work of some demon or evil planets?" And the children said, "No, Krishna kicked it." And then they were like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay." Like that. You know, they were just thinking that the children were just making fun or whatever. So they could not believe. How could Krishna's feet cannot even reach the cart. How can Krishna kick, even if it could reach? See how soft Krishna's feet is. How can such a soft, small feet topple the cart, which was filled with, you know, so many different vessels made of gold and silver? And these are like very, you know, gold and silver are very, very dense metals. They must have been very huge and heavy. How can small Krishna's feet topple such a cart? And they were like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, okay." So, nate shraddhadire gopa bala bhashita mityuta aprameyam balam tasya balakasya nate viduhu. Te gopa, nate viduhu aprameyam. The assembled gopas and gopis, unaware that Krishna is always unlimited. Na viduhu aprameyam. Na te viduhu aprameyam. Aprameyam. Aprameyo. Rishikesho Padmanabho Maraprabhu, as Vishnu Sahasranama says. Aprameya means not knowing that Krishna is unlimited. Na shraddha dire. So they could definitely not believe. Tasya balam. They could not believe that Krishna had such inconceivable power. Bala bhashita mityuta. They could not believe the statements of the children, and therefore they neglected these statements as being childish talk. The Vrajavasis, unaware of Krishna's power, just neglected these statements as childish talk. Oh, this is just some childish talk. The cowherd men did not believe the statements of children. Rudantam sutamadaya yashoda graha shankita kritasvastayanam vipraihi suktaistanam apayayat graha shankita. Thinking that some bad planet had attacked. Graha means planet. Graha also means like a ghost or a evil spirit. Shankita, you know, suspecting that some bad planet or some ghost had attacked. Yashoda, Rudantam Sutam Adaya, she picked up crying Krishna, Stanam Apayayat, and she fed him milk. Vipraihi Su Uktaihi Kritaswastyanam. Then she called for experienced Brahmanas to chant Vedic hymns and perform auspicious ritualistic ceremony. So, suspecting suspecting a demon attack, Mother Yashoda picked up Krishna, picked up and fed Krishna, and had the Brahmanas chant mantras for his safety. So here, Krishna Chakragur says, Yashoda had the Brahmanas perform Swastyayana, chanting mantras to ward off the demons. Purvavat stapitam gopair bali bissa parichadam vipra utvarchayam chakruhu dadyakshata kusham bubihi. Balibihi gopaihi. So it required strong and stout cowherd men. Ordinary cowherd men could not do it. Strong and stout cowherd men stapitam, they assembled sa parichadam, the pots and paraphernalia. Purvavat, as before, on the cart, they put the, all the paraphernalia as before, because they were very heavy. Vipra and the Brahmanas, putva, they performed a fire sacrifice. Dadi akshata kushambubihi, with rice grains, kusha, water, and curd. Kusha is kusha grass, ambubihi is water. Dadi is curd, akshata is rice grains, archayam chakruhu, and they worship the Supreme Lord. Strong and stout gopas picked up the vessels and set it up as before. The Brahmanas performed the ceremony to appease the bad planet or demon. Shri Vishnu Jagadagur says, the cart was repaired and placed in its original position by some strong cowherd men. This proves that the cart was very large. The cowherd men worshipped the cart because the cart was one of their main possessions, being the abode of Lakshmi and the storehouse of their accumulated wealth. You know, it was a huge cart. It was the abode of Lakshmi, and the storehouse of their accumulated wealth. Okay. What is the time? Okay, I think we will pause here and continue this discussion day after tomorrow. Okay, so thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion on Thursday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Par ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.